Gracious and eternal God, we thank you, oh God. Father God, we just honor you, oh God, on today because, Lord God, you and you alone are worthy. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of glory. You're holy. God, you are sovereign over everything, oh God, over our lives, over our storms. Lord God, over every situation, you're with us. We thank you, Lord God, for your sovereign will and authority. We thank you, oh God, for loving us with an everlasting, unconditional love. We thank you, oh God, for this undeserved favor, this grace, Heavenly Father, that you have bestowed upon us, oh God, where without it we'd be dead. But Lord God, you loved us, and we just honor you on today, Lord God. And Lord God, we want to honor you in this time. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would have your way. Heavenly Father, Lord, please deal with my heart, deal with my mind. Speak, oh God, crucify me, bring me to an end of myself. Heavenly Father, that you might speak, Lord God, even in this time, let your omniscient wisdom, oh God, Heavenly Father, be engrafted in us right now. Help us, oh God, Heavenly Father, just to be better servants in your kingdom, oh God. Heavenly Father, that in everything that we do, we bring you glory, Lord God. Have your way. Edify us, O God, even by thy word and thy spirit, that you might be glorified. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O God, in thy sight, Lord God, my strength and my redeemer. We thank you, we praise you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Our focus is going to be 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're focusing. Verses 14 through 21. I love this text. It is a foundational text for me in my personal life and fellowship with God. And really, it should be a foundational text for all believers. Because first of all, because it's the word. Secondly, because if we're going to serve and be in ministry, we got to know something about this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. So what we want to deal with topically is this serving in this ministry. We want to deal with the necessary process for every single believer, for every single person in service, in serving in ministry. And like Pastor Wright told us and instructed us and encouraged us just a few minutes ago, to know that we're dealing with all kinds, and I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about spirits, because the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, what? Powers, right? Rulers, the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we've got to understand that when people are in front of us, we're not dealing with people. And Pastor Wright's been dealing with, we're dealing with the stuff that we can't see. We're dealing with, the Bible says that we've been born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You're dealing with the shaping of an individual's heart from the time they were born until the time they were born again, if they were born again, and if they are never born again, still being shaped in the image of this world. And we've got to know, like, we ain't equipped to deal with it. Listen, you ain't smart enough. I ain't charismatic enough. I ain't got enough political correctness in my body to be able to deal with the fruits of this world, the rudiments of this world, because that's what we're confronted with in ministry. Not just for people who are coming in off the street, but guess what? If we ain't willing to die to ourselves, we're dealing with it in the church too. Amen. So we've got to know this. So this is why, and so we're going to focus here in this text on this text. I'm going to ask if somebody would not mind reading this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21.
The love of Christ is plain to us. But we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead.
We're what?
If one died for all, then we are all dead.
Okay.
And that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live unto themselves, but live not. I'm sorry, let me do that again.
That's all right.
And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, now know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
Mm.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. It's a mouthful. Listen, and we're not going to be able to cover this whole thing in this hour, but I want to encourage you to listen, study this. Study this text. This text is so, like I said, this is foundational. And it's not a standalone. When you talk about this text, he's given us, and that's what we're going to talk about. This is a process that every single believer must go through. Because guess what? I don't want to jump ahead. But study this text. This is a foundational text. So listen, we want to talk about this serving in this ministry. And there's a reason why I have this in all caps, because really, there's really only one ministry. Some of y'all are ushers. Some of y'all in the kitchen. Some of y'all in the pantry. Some of us are deacons and preachers. Some of us, but really, there's only one ministry. Because there's only one focus, and we're going to get into that as well. But what we're dealing with, and the reason why we're dealing with this chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, because it's so appropriate. In a minute, Pastor Wright began to introduce what he wanted to do, what the Lord was leading him. The Lord immediately, man, 20 minutes after we hung up the phone, he laid the scripture on my heart. And then as I begin to look back at it, I begin to look before it. And really, this chapter 5 is a continuation of chapters 3 and chapter 4. And you know what the main focus and the topic of those chapters are? Ministry. They are ministry. Paul is dealing with so many components of, ministry, right? The toils of ministry, the support and helps of ministry. Pastor Wright, you got something to say? That's right. Pastor Wright said this is a culminating, absolutely. This is a culminating text. It's the culmination of what Paul is dealing with, talking about, it's an in-depth and comprehensive look. So don't just read chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. Read chapters 3 and chapter 4 and chapters 4 as well, because it's so important for ministry. And it culminates here. It culminates in what ministry truly is, which I'm not going to give away. Any of y'all been in Bible study, or any of y'all been in the Love Fellowship class, you already know where we're going. In terms of what true ministry is and our call to ministry, right? But it culminates in what ministry truly is, what Christ's ministry truly was, and what our ministry truly is in those last couple of verses in chapter 5. But the prerequisites for ministry starts in verse 14, And travels on through. I'm telling you, because if you're not there, and listen, this is encouragement. This is not indictment, but I'm telling you, if you're not there, or if your heart is not broken to be there, because it's a continuum. We don't have it. It's not a thing that I got it, right? No, this is a, like Pastor Robert says, this is a, This has got to be a growing pattern of Christ-likeness. So we're continually growing, continually being put through this progression and this continuum, which we're going to talk about as we grow in our fellowship with Christ, that his work might be demonstrated through our fellowship with him, right? But what I'm going to say, what I started to say, if this is not where your heart is or your heart's desire is, you need to sit down. You can be, and I'll use Carol because you know I love her. You could be the head of the usher board, right? You could be the head of the trustees. You could be the head, and I know Dean Wright, know I love you could be the head of the dean board, but if this is not where your heart is, you need to sit down. Seriously. Because lives are at stake. And I ain't just talking about lives on this earth, I'm talking about eternal life. Eternal lives are at, we got to understand the seriousness of this walk. It's not just about church and coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays and Saturdays and Tuesdays and operating in religion. Our hearts have to be, listen, do you know what Christ did? Do you know what he did for us? Pastor Wright read it, that Philippians chapter 2, right? Listen, this thing is serious. And we've got to take it seriously. We've got to take it seriously. So let's look at this. Listen, so we talk about serving in ministry, right? Right? There are three things. There's the motive. There's the means. And then there's the ministry, right? The three M's. Motive, means, and ministry. And you know what part of the challenge is, y'all? And it's not anybody's fault. Well, it's somebody's fault. We'll blame it on the devil like we blame everything else, right? But you know what part of the problem is? We come into the church. We get saved, praise the Lord, and then we start joining ministries. And we think that we're meet for ministry, for serving. And guess what? We're not. There's a process that has to occur in our lives, right? That prepares us for ministry. I'm not saying you come in and you want to be an usher and you got to sit for 4 years. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you got to understand this process, and your heart has got to be broken and be willing to engage in this process in order for God to qualify you to serve other. Listen, Jesus' ministry started when? When did Christ come on the scene? At the age of what? 33 years old. You didn't hear much about Christ as a child in the word, did you? Because even though he was God, he was in the flesh. And listen, the Lord was preparing the way for Christ's ministry. We've all got to be prepped and prepared to serve and do the works of ministry. It ain't about how smart you are. I know you got the gift of gab. It ain't about how well you can speak. It's not about how charismatic you are. It's not about your work ethic and how hard you work. This stuff, can the Lord use those things? Yes, but he won't use them until your heart has been prepped and prepared for the works of, it's not about your talent. That's the problem. You know why churches are messed up? Because of talented people. Churches are messed up because listen, I can't do nothing on the merits of talent. Don't matter. You may be the best. You can play. You can sing. You can do all this stuff. God don't care about that. God is not worried about how talented you are. He's worried about the condition of your heart. Our hearts have to be fixed, primed, ready. For so many talented people, listen, I know some talented people will tell you off in the church. You know why? Because they're not broken. They're not broken. Listen, and we see it. We see something. I'm not going to call my daughter is heartbroken. She is heartbroken, my oldest, because one of her favorite gospel music artists, right? You want to talk about talented and anointed? This man, this brother can sing. Him and his family have these albums. Man, they are, man, you listen to them, they, you know, that's why we got to be careful. People talk about it, you know, you crying because somebody's son, that's emotionalism. Yeah. This young man, and you would think, and guess what? The big, this man, she found out, you know, he's, dealing with boys, right? Dealing with men. You know what I mean? And people will say because of his talent, you want to call talented people anointed and all this other stuff. No, they're just talented. Talent and anointing have nothing to do with one another. Anointing means I'm free. The Bible says that the balm or the anointing destroys the yoke. It was the anointing that they used to loose the shackles as the Israelites were returning from captivity. Anointing means I'm free. Anointing don't mean I'm talented. Now, it means I'm free to operate in the spirit and in the work of the Lord. But those fruits have nothing to do with my singing or playing or anything else. It has to do with my ability to operate in this ministry, this capital T-I-H-S ministry, which we're going to talk about. So we've got to know these things, right? So our hearts have to be primed and prepped for ministry. So let's talk about these three things, the motive, the means, and the ministry. Let's first talk about the motive, because it starts here. Listen, if this is not your motive, and y'all want to hear me say this so many times, sit down. If you are not in love, sit down. If you here because generations and generations and generations before you served in the church, or because you got a talent, or because of whatever, sit down. If this is not your motive, one more time, sit down, because we've got to be in love. Listen, it starts here. We've got to be a people. Listen, if you scared, if you here because you scared, listen, I done so many things wrong in my life, and I just want to come give my time to the church because I feel as though if I serve and I do these things, I won't go to hell. I'm scared to go to hell. Sit down. Listen, because Christ ain't worried about scared people. For this is about people who are in love. Heaven is going to be, y'all heard me say it a million times. Heaven is for people who are in love, because you ain't going to want to spend eternity up in nobody's face, Christ, if you ain't in love with them. This is about love. We've got to fall in love, and God has given us ample, more than enough reason to be in love with him. That's why there should be no excuse. We should be a people who are in love. You heard Pastor Wright dealing with it the past couple of weeks. What? We've got to be what? Addicted to love. Because if there's no love, you ain't going to want to deal with nobody. You won't have the capacity, the means, nor the motivation, or the will to want to deal with anybody if you're not in love. And so the foundation, first of all, of salvation, the foundation of fellowship or any relationship is love, right? Me and my wife are together because of love, right? You and your spouse are together because of love. You serve and raise and bless your children because you love them. Why? Because the greatest motivator is love. The greatest sustainer is love. If Christ had not loved us, he would have never gone to the cross. If Christ had not loved us, he sure enough would not have stayed up on the cross. But because of the love of Christ, he did it. Love was Christ's motivation. We all know what John 3:16, right? For God, what? He loved us so much. He loved us so that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Somebody please find Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Somebody else please find 1 John chapter 4, verse 9.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, he loved us.
One more.
Even when we were dead in sin, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved.
Amen. You hear that? But God, because there's a whole lot of stuff said before that, and we're going to go there in the next section, right? But God who was what? Rich in mercy. But what did he say then after that?
For his great love.
Wherewith he loved us. Not any old kind of love, but what did he say after that, Norm?
Even when we were dead in sin,
he restates what he says in the first verse of that chapter. What God has, what I'm paraphrasing, he quickened us, right?
When we were dead
in trespasses and sin. It's the love of Christ that motivated him to do what? To rescue us. When we were in what condition? When we were cute and cuddly. When we had it all together.
Nope.
So what's our mindset when we're dealing with people who are coming in? Mm-hmm. We've got to be mindful, right, of where people are, right? And understand that it's the overwhelming love of Christ, because it's really not your love. Your love ain't good enough. Your love can't meet it. Your love can't meet the need of somebody who's come off the street, who's been abused, who's been on drugs, right? Who the world has totally tore to pieces and comes in with an attitude. And you ain't had a good day, right? So here they come, right? And they got words for you. And here you go, ready? No, the love of Christ has to kick in. The love of Christ. We've got to be fools in love with Jesus. Don't get offended. You was a fool in love with somebody. At some point, acting a pure D, as my mother-in-law would say. Acting a pure D fool. I was. Pastor Wright seen it in action. KB Toy and Hobby. Right? We tell the story all the time. Right? We was at, listen, but that's how we've got to be for Christ. We've got to be overwhelmed of this love that he's given us. He had no reason to love us. There was no reason for him to love us other than he made up his mind even before the foundations of the world to love us. Knew we were going to be a hot mess. You got to know that people coming off the street, some of them are going to be a hot mess. What do you want to do? You going to get back with them? You going to get upset? No, you better, man. That's why we've got to be in love. That's why we've got to be in love. Who had 1 John 4:9-11? Uh-huh. Here we go. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, is that 9-11?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Herein is love.
That's
not
it.
Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
You hear that? Who is he talking about? Listen, first of all, he said, here is love manifest, or here is love demonstrated, right? That God, and I'm paraphrasing, he would give his life for us, right? In what position? Not that we loved him, right? But that he first loved. Who has the first position of love? Who took the first position of love, y'all?
God.
And then he tells us at the end of that verse 11 that we ought to love the same way, right? But he also commanded us in the gospel. He says, "I give you a new commandment that you do what? That you love one another how? As I have loved." And he told us how he loved us. He took the first position of love. Aren't you glad that God did not wait for us to love him first? But he loved us first. The first position of love resides with us. We've got to love people. I don't care if you never met them before. I don't care if they come through the door looking at you cross-eyed. Listen, we have the first position of manifested, demonstrated love. People have to see the love of Christ. If more people saw the love of Christ from the church, more people would be saved. They would. Not standing in posture, oh, look at me in my position, in my badge, in my title. Oh, you come here talking to me. Do you know who I am? I'm Minister Marlon Williams, which don't mean nothing, right? But that's how people can be sometimes. No, what did he say? Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus, right? Who what? Who though he was in the form of God, right? He made himself of what? No reputation and took on the form of a servant. We've got to have the first position. We are servants. He said, let this mind, let this heart be in you. That was also in him. If anybody had right to stand and say, I'm all that, you're going to honor me. When you come through the door, you better bow. It was Christ Jesus. But what did he do? He chose to take the position of a servant. He took the first position of love. That's got to be our position, y'all. That's got to be our position. Y'all know Romans 5, verse 8. We know that, right? And Christ did what? He commended the love when we had it all together. Right. When we were yet still in our sins, he died for us. The theme here is, listen, stop. Listen, ain't no, first of all, even in the church, we ain't got it together. So what do you expect from people in the world? They're coming in. They need to see the love of Christ. We've got to be broken to the love of Christ. We've got to be convinced. We've got to be persuaded. We've got to be compelled of the love of Christ. And that's what Paul is dealing with. He says, listen, he says, for the love of Christ, what does the love of Christ do? Constrain us. That has triple meaning. That constrain us means the love of Christ, it covers and protects us, right? It compels us or it motivates us, right? Right? And it persuades us. And it persuades us. And it, I said cover and protect, so really too. Cover protects us and it motivates us. It's the love of Christ. Because guess what? If you ain't in love, you're going to be unstable. And that's what he says, constrain us, right? Means it covers us. It keeps us. Sometimes when I read it, I think of like a straitjacket. Why do they put people in those institutions in a straitjacket? To restrain them for what reason, Deacon Wright, I heard? To protect. The love of Christ protects, first and foremost, protects you and me from you and me. The love of Christ protects me from me. Number one, it keeps me because I'm validated in the love of Christ. Regardless of what I go through, it keeps me from losing my mind, even though the devil, he tries to get us to a point where we've lost our mind. But the love of Christ validates us to know that we're loved unconditionally, to know that he's loved us before the foundation of the world. Brings a peace about in the mind of the believer to know that regardless of what's going on, whether it be corona, whether it be social unrest and injustice, whether it be you lost your job, whether it be you're persecuted by people, regardless of what you see, you know that you're loved. But if we've not fallen, this is what I mean, we've got to fall in love. Our hearts have got to be broken to the love of Christ. We've got to be persuaded and convinced beyond what we see, beyond what we hear, beyond what we feel, beyond what we think we know, that Christ loves us. Amen. If not, I'm telling you, that's why, and you have people, you see pastors walking away from ministry. Number one, they probably weren't called in the first place. Number two, they're not validated in the love of Christ. How are you going to let people run you off of what God, if God has truly called you, to do? How are you gonna let people run you off of what God has called you to do? You gotta be, you know why? Because we gotta be validated in the love of Christ. We've gotta be validated, we've gotta be convinced and compelled. Ephesians 3:17, what is Paul's prayer? He said in that 3:17, it's his prayer. His prayer is that what in the inner man, that we be strengthened with might in the inner man, right? That we be rooted and grounded in what? In love. Rooted and grounded in love. We've got to be root. Listen, that's this root, the root, a plant starts where, right? When you plant it, what keeps that, what allows that thing, Sister Doc, what allows that thing to grow? What allows that thing to stay stable? What allows that thing to have stability. It's the root. And so he says we've got to be rooted and grounded in love. Our root in salvation, our root in ministry, the very rooting, what keeps us stable and consistent, because ain't nothing worse than somebody serving in the church who like this. Up and down. Inconsistent, hot and cold, happy and sad, right? Ain't no, you know what they call that? Schizophrenia. Bipolar. That's what that is, right? It's the love of Christ that keeps us consistent. People acting right? People ain't acting right? People saying good stuff about you shouldn't matter. People saying bad stuff about you? Consistent. Why? Because you've been rooted and grounded. But you've got to know. Your heart's got to be broken to it. That's why he says later on in that chapter, he says, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Meaning that love has got to break your heart. It goes past what you can understand because you can't understand the love of Christ in your carnal mind because it's too great. It's too amazing. That's why he went through that list, right? He said that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the depth, the length, the width, to know the love of Christ. We've got to know it. We've got to know the love of Christ. Our hearts have got to be broken to this love. And then finally here in this, because we're still talking about the motive. This is our motive. This is the why, right? This is the call. This is the call and the sustaining of ministry. The love of Christ, right? We're still dealing with. And finally he says, for somebody, 1 Peter 4 and 8. If somebody can read that, 1 Peter 4 and 8.
And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins.
Amen. You hear that? He says, have fervent love. He's talking about an intense, because he's really talking about the love of Christ. Having a fervent, intense love for one another. Why? See, there's a reason. There's a reason. Because that love has a purpose. Because the purpose of that love, he explains. He says, because that love is a covering. That love covers what? What's a multitude? A lot. Multitude on top of multitudes on top of it means it's talking about a love that continues to expand because it's multiplying, right? It's a love that continues to grow. There's a word that I'm looking for that I can't think of. It's an exponential love. To love, he's saying we've got to love exponentially because love covers a multitude of sin. First and foremost, talking about the love of Christ that covers all sin, right? When he went to the cross, he covered all sin. Sin past, sin present, sin future. For who? For me, right? It's personal. Who else? Everybody. There's not a person, sin, that has not been covered on the cross. Now, some folk may not have accepted what Christ has done on the cross, but guess what? His sins, his blood still covered that sin. You know why? Because there can be no reconciliation if that sin has not been covered. And we have no rights to ministry. And we have rights to ministry because that sin has been covered. That's why it's because the sin has been covered that he can say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It does not exclude anyone. But that's a message for you and us, because we've got to understand that sin just did not cover yours. That love did not just cover your sin. That love covered the sin of those who come through the door. Guess what, y'all? Get ready. Brace yourself. That covers the sin of your worst enemy. The person who has transgressed against you.
Wow.
The worst. That love covers that sin. And I heard Charles Stanley say, how are you going to hold something against somebody? Because think about what we said the cross did. How are you going to hold something against somebody that Christ has already forgiven? See, our problem is we don't accept forgiveness. Christ has already forgiven sin. We've got to accept it by way of the cross and what he did. But you can't, and see, and that's the thing. You can't say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad you forgave me of my sin. And then hold somebody else's transgression against them. Can't do it. It's a trap. Do you know that the Lord trapped us? He trapped us. Because if we accepted him on the cross, we have to accept the finished work on the cross. You just can't say, oh, Jesus, yeah, thank you. I accept what you did for me. Yeah, yeah, in a way. But you are, but by nature of accepting what he did, you accept what he did for the entire, for all of creation. Without it, we have no rights to ministry. Without it, that's why, and I thank God for what Minister Tobin is dealing with in Bible study this month. It has been an absolute blessing, challenging our hearts around forgiveness. We have to, and it's only the love of Christ that'll get us there. So the motive is love. We've got, listen, y'all, make up in your mind today, you're going to leave here seeking to be in love, in pursuit, in hot pursuit of the love of Christ, convinced of his love, persuaded of his love, compelled of his love. Because if you're not in love, you are not qualified for ministry. You know why? Because if you ain't in love, you ain't gonna want to do the next thing we're gonna talk about. The means of ministry is replacement. What's another word for replace? I listened to a tape back in, I forget what year this was. I think I might have been preaching like maybe a year or two. And I was like, and I listened to them, and I listened, just so happy to listen to the message. You know what that message was about, y'all? It was about death. I was like, and I didn't even realize, I didn't really know what it was, but God had given this message, not even understanding at the point, at that time, what our purpose was in Christian living in Romans 8:29, that we would be conformed to the image of his, that's death. That's our purpose. Even then, Lord, dealing with our hearts, because you know what? The principle is the principle. And the purpose is the purpose. And it ain't got nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Pastor Wright or anybody else. It has to do with what God has purposed before the foundations of the world, that we be conformed to the likeness of his son. And guess what? If we're going to be in ministry, and that's why we can't stop preaching it and teaching it. And that's why we won't stop preaching it and teaching it. Because it's a requirement. First of all, for Christian living. And it's a requirement for ministry. Listen, if you ain't willing to die, and listen, don't get me wrong, because guess what? And I welcome it. When he's dealing with it, co-crucifixion and death, I'm convicted. So it should convict us. It should cause us. It should make us uncomfortable, because the carnal mind is enmity towards God. It's got to be dealt with. It should cause. But if you have a mindset that when the preacher is preaching and teaching about death, you got a problem with that preacher, or you got a problem with, listen, it's one thing to be like, ouch, but yes, Lord, thank you. But it's another thing to be like, why is this dude dealing with this stuff? Won't he? You know what? You better sit down. Yes. Why don't he preach on worship? You can't get to worship unless you go through the cross. You can't, I'm telling you, it's just an ocean. We must go through the cross. We must go. Listen. Why is it that Christ could die? And we can't die. We gotta die. So if your posture when this preacher is dealing with death is, man, he need to sit down, or I'm tired of this, he preached this one more time, I'm going to move my membership, you need to sit down. You shouldn't even listen. You are not fit to be in. I'm telling you right now. I'm serious. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry, but I'm serious. You're not fit, because this is God's purpose for us. When God went to the cross, he went to the cross for the purpose of taking our place. But it did not stop on the cross. He took our place on the cross so that he can take our place in life. Because we're not qualified to live this life and handle this life in our own. Death is a good thing. He wants to live instead of you. And I don't know about you, we live in a messed up world. It's too much. It's too much for us to handle in our own strength. That's why Paul said that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Because God desires to live this life through us. He wants to, but instead of us, but if we're not willing to submit and surrender and for his life to take our place, guess what? We are subject to every trial, every tribulation. That's why some of y'all can't handle when people say something to you. You get all upset when somebody look at you the wrong way. You're all upset. You know why? Because you got to die. Yeah. You're not equipped to handle this. I'm not equipped to handle this. Yeah. Only Christ's life through us he's the only one who's equipped to handle this. That's why we got to die. That's why we've got to be replaced. Because he wants to live instead of us. And some of us are just, listen, we're dealing with some stuff and it's weighing on us so bad. Some of us don't even want to get out of the bed in the morning. I know it. I know it. Because that's what this world does. But God has made provision for us by way of the cross. Not just Christ's death, but our death. He wants to take our place. We've got to be replaced. The primary purpose of God's love is to convince us of our purpose. Do you know that? Look at what he said, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Why? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. In other words, the love of Christ has compelled me, constrained or motivated me, right? Has motivated me, has brought me to a place. It has convinced me. That's what he means. We thus judge. I have determined in my heart that if he loved me enough to die for me, then I ought to love him enough to give my life for him. This is what he's letting us know. This is what he's telling us. But why? Because we can't move forward in ministry in us. We can't. That's why there's so many failures in ministry. That's why when they walk through the food line, and because you only gave them one piece of chicken, they told you off and you had to tell them off back. Why? Because you can't do ministry in you. I can't do ministry in me. Can't do it. He's got to replace us. This is our purpose, Romans 8:29. Why? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Purposed that we what? That we be conformed, changed, transformed, replaced. And in order to be replaced, the old man got to go. He got to go. Why do you think he says, and I love this, because people love to quote chapter verse 17 of this text. Any man, and ain't got a clue of what they saying. Ain't a bit more trying to be new, because in order to be new, you got to die. Any man who be in Christ is what? And then he go, and then Paul just went on and explained. He said, well, old things what? What does pass away mean? Pass away to me mean dead. All things have passed away, and behold, some things.
All things.
The majority of things.
All things.
90, listen, all right, 99, just give me 1%.
All things.
Can I just keep 1% of myself?
All things.
Oh, really? Seriously? All things become new. But look at what he said. He didn't say old things pass away, all things become new. He said, behold. You know who that's for? That's for everybody you ministering to. That's for everybody who, see, you walk around talking about any man who be in Christ and you still doing the same stuff. There is no, and guess what people are beholding? They are beholding you. They not beholding, and they beholding me, right? But no, he said, all things have passed away. Behold, all things, because, don't get me wrong, y'all, it's a process. It's a process, but we got to be moving in that direction, consistently moving in that direction. And if you're in love, you'll be moving in that direction, because the first thing that love does, it compels you to die to yourself. It compels you to want better for your life. And the better is Christ himself. We've got to die. We've got to die. Christ's life must replace us. Look at what he says in that verse 15. He says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live. That's what we're just talking about. Live unto themselves, but unto who? Who? Verse 15, y'all read along with me. Unto him which died for them and did what? Verse 15, the very end. And rose again. Christ, listen. Christ did not rise from the dead just for the sake of rising. Guess what, y'all? What does he tell us in Romans chapter 6? When he died, who else died? We died. And when he rose, who rose? That's why Paul can say any man who be in Christ is a new creature. We got to believe it by faith. We've got to walk in it by faith. He rose. He rose. And guess where he rose? He rose in us. His life in us. That's why we have him living in us. And his desire is to live instead of us. That's how we accomplish the things that God wants us to accomplish. In ministry, we say it all the time. God did not call us to do the things that we can do. Do you know that? If you in church doing just the stuff that you can do, you are missing out on what God has called you for. If that's why I say talent don't mean nothing. If I'm just in church demonstrating talent, listen, my work is in vain. Because God has not called his children to do the things that we can do. He's called us to do the things that he can do. If that were the case, he would have no reason to even live in us. There would be no reason for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit must bear fruit, and he wants to bear his fruit. God wants to do the things that he can do. You know why? Because when we're ministering to people, the things that I can do ain't good enough for people to get saved. But it's the work of Christ through me, loving, because the biggest thing that he can do that we can't do is to love past sin. And guess what? That's what get people saved. That's the only reason why we're here today. That's the only reason why you're here today on this Zoom, is because Christ loved you past your sin. What did we just say? He commended the love in Romans 5:8. That when we were yet still in our sin, he died for us. He calls you, listen, I can't do that. It's got to be personal for you. So let me make it personal. I can't do that. I can't love past sin. Do you know that? In my own strength, impossible. I can't do it. Can't be done. This flesh can't do it. This flesh don't want to do it. That's why we gotta fall in love, because it's his love manifested. But in order for his love to be manifested, we gotta die so his love can be manifested. God has called us to do the things that he can do. Listen, and that's why I say, when you hear Minister Tober teaching this month talking about forgiveness, 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 and some of us in our minds say, yep, you know what, I'm gonna forgive. And then we go out and we come back in the house with our heads down, talking about why I tried, but I failed, because you was doing it. You made up in your mind, but your heart, first of all, must be broken to the love of Christ, so that you be willing to die to yourself, so that his life through you can love somebody who's done something to you. And guess what, y'all? I get it. Sometimes it hurts so bad. People doing stuff, and you can't even understand it. And you go out of your way to try and be nice to people. Right? That's right. And don't you know that this is the work of the devil? This is the work of the devil. And you can't fight the devil in your strength. That's why you got to die. He's called you to do what he can do. You know what he can do? He can love your worst enemy. He can overwhelm them in love. He can love them to a point where it will confound their mind, where they won't know what to do,
right,
to the point where they will come to Christ. Because that's the only way people get saved. People don't get saved because you say, come to church with me.
Right.
Now, they might come to church, hear the word, see the love of Christ demonstrated, but because it wasn't just because you invited them to church. No, it's because somebody died, somebody loved, somebody shared the gospel, not just by mouth, but they demonstrated the gospel in action and in word. That's how people get saved. We can't do that in our own strength. God has got to do it through us. That's why we got to die. That's why. And we're not fit for service unless we're ready to love unconditionally. And guess what? I'm not saying sometimes it won't be a struggle. But that's why we're constantly practicing co-crucifixion. That's why these preachers is preaching this all the time. Because your flesh wants nothing more. Okay, if he just deal with it this month, I'll be good. And then he can talk about worship. He can talk about my breakthrough, my season, and my harvest. And he can talk about, you know, the what's happening in the political landscape. And then give me a little bit of comic relief. Talk about Trump a little bit. And then maybe in a couple, maybe about 4 to 6 weeks, then I'll be ready for him to talk about death. No, you need to die every day. You need more than just this word on Sunday. You need to go back, get in this word, and make up your mind that you want to die to what you're reading. We've got to die. Listen, we've got to die. We can't talk about it enough. This is why Christ came. He didn't come and we get, oh my goodness, he fed the multitudes with so many fish and 5 loaves of bread. He healed the sick. He did all this stuff. Those are beautiful. That wasn't his purpose. He was just doing that stuff on the way to Calvary. It was like him walking on the road. He sees some stuff that needed to be done. Let me do it. Let me take care of this on my way. It's like me running errands for my wife. My wife sent me to the store, right, for whatever, right? I realized there's a couple other things that need to get done on the way to the store. So let me stop here real quick and do this. Let me stop. But that was not my purpose. Let me come home without what she sent me to the store with. We're going to have a problem. Right? But wait a minute. On my way to Home Depot, I know you needed it, but on my way to Home Depot, I stopped and grabbed this. That's not what I asked you to do. Good. I'm glad you did it, but that's not what I asked you to do. No. Christ had tunnel vision for the cross. His purpose was to die. His purpose was not to heal. Those were activities and things that he did to help people to see and demonstrate his power and authority. But his purpose was to die. Guess what, y'all? Your purpose is to die. On the way to your death, as a product and the fruit of your death, God is going to do some things. He's going to allow some things to be demonstrated in your life. But guess what? My purpose is not to preach. On my way, on this road to death, God has assigned me to preach and to teach, but it's not my purpose. Your purpose is not to usher. Your purpose is not to deacon. Your purpose is not to collect money. Your purpose is not to do whatever it is you do. On your way, on this road to death and replacement, God has allowed you to do some things to bless other people, but if you're not on the road, if you're not on the road of death and replacement, what you are doing in vain. Because you miss the whole purpose. Because you know what happens in our death? Philippians chapter 3, we're fellowship with Christ. We're fellowship with Christ. We are fellowship with Christ through our death. That's why you got to die. And that's why the works are just a product. Oh, let's go there real quick. And I probably got it here somewhere, but Philippians chapter 3, somebody please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to read it. I'll read it. Listen, this was Paul's great desire. Listen, Paul denounced everything he had for this. Listen, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the what, y'all? and the fellowship of his suffering. In other words, fellowship comes by means of suffering. The fellowship of his, and that suffering means the suffering of self, dying to self. Suffering does not mean I can't pay my light bill, they persecute me on my job, all this stuff. No, that's trial and tribulation. The purpose of trial and tribulation, we've dealt with this in Bible study before, is to lead us to suffering. That's why David said it was good for me that I had been afflicted in Psalms 119, I think, somewhere, right? That I might what? Learn thy statutes. Learn. And even that learning means suffering, right? Christ learned obedience by what? The things that he suffered. We've got to understand that fellowship comes by way of, this is, this, listen, this text, this chapter is all about fellowship. That's why he goes, and he says what? He says unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, right? Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, listen, that I may do what? I may apprehend that which I have been apprehended of. In other words, that I may complete this fellowship. He saved me. I accepted him. He's got a hold of me. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life in hot pursuit of this growing relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Paul refers to him as the prize. I press towards the mark of the what? Prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ is our prize. We are in pursuit. Our death, our suffering brings about fellowship. It brings about fellowship. All right, so let's go back here, right? So he says, so it's about our death, it's our, about our dying and our replacement. Christ replacing us, rose again, he replaced us. Y'all know Galatians 2 and 20, right? I am what? With Christ. Listen, what's this next? Nevertheless, I live. Listen, what does he say? Yet not I, but Christ. Who living? Yet not I, but Christ. Why? Because he's replacing me. Nevertheless, I live. Yes, you see me. You see my body. You see me. I'm here. Oh, man. You see me, I'm here, right? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but in Christ. Replacement is the only means by which we can deal with other people. Listen, this is where I wanted to spend, right? Let's just park here for 1 second, right? This verse 16, look at this. Wherefore, henceforth, right? Meaning from this point forward, what does he say? No, we no man after the flesh. You hear this? If we want to minister to people, if we want to be in ministry and service to people, we got to know this. This is where we got to be. Wherefore, henceforth. In other words, from this time forward, know we no man after the flesh. Two things, right? Meaning number one, no longer do I see people through my own fleshly eye. Why? What's the prerequisite? What happened? Why am I no longer seeing people through my eyes? Because I've been replaced. Me and my eyes have been replaced. My ears have been replaced. So you guess what? You can't even hear what people saying to you because your ears have been replaced. It's been filtered through the blood of Jesus Christ and the love of God, right? Guess what? Your little feelings have been replaced, right? We've been replaced. And because we've been replaced, I see people differently. You know how I see people? I see people through the eyes of Christ. I see, we see people. We must see people the way Christ sees people. And understand what we talked about earlier, right? Ephesians chapter 6, right? But we're not wrestling when somebody come in with they whatever, right? And got to say whatever, right? You ain't wrestling against flesh. Stop wrestling with these people. Stop arguing with these people. You ain't got to give these people a piece of mind, but guess what? Because guess what? They ain't got a clue. They don't have have a clue what you saying. You ain't got to win. And that's the problem, the spirit of pride. We got to win. Oh, you ain't going to get away with saying. No, you ain't got to. You've already won. We've won because of Christ, not because you had the last word. You in a ministry or auxiliary meeting with somebody and somebody come out of, you ain't got to get back with them. Show somebody the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ. We've got to see people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's so much bigger. And you speaking to something that they said in a single moment of time that was motivated and generated through a lifetime of rejection, hurt and pain. And you think because you read somebody up and down, you did something? You only stacked on and piled on to what they already dealing with. That's why we gotta love. Love covers a multitude of sin, including the sin that somebody has transgressed against you and me. No longer do we see people through the flesh, through our own eyes. No longer do we see the flesh because we're not dealing with the flesh. Principalities, powers, rulers and darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And you running somebody up and down. Listen, ain't no power in that. The power is in the life and the love of Christ being manifest. Only thing that can deal with it. Which, you know what? And who does that move out of the equation? You and me. Let him deal with it. Let him deal with it. People will be better off because of it. And guess what? You might not ever see the fruits of that loving kindness in your lifetime. That person may not ever come back in this church again, but a seed has been planted. And that, guess what? Unfortunately, that person may not even get saved. But they've seen the love of Christ demonstrated when they stand before God. See, many times by our obedience and actions, we've charged people. But the only way to charge people is in the word and in love. You can't charge people in your own mind and attitude. Well, I charged them. They know now. I told them. No, that's not a charge. We can only charge in love and in the word of God. And that love has got to be demonstrated. It's got to be demonstrated. It's the only way. You ain't charged nobody by telling them all and giving them a piece. No, love. Love. Well, I did it in love. No, you didn't. Not with that nasty attitude and disposition. You didn't. No. Love. Just love. Just love. And guess what? They'll get it sooner or later. They will. And guess what, y'all? I'm not exactly. Listen. Ask my wife. Okay? All right? About, I ain't gonna say Minister Marlon. About Marlon. Okay? Listen. This spirit's got to put us in check. We've all been there because we are emotional beings. But the spirit has the spirit of Christ. That's why we've got to grow and be in this word. We've got to so that it can overcome. Because I could be quick. Man, the Lord had to deal with me one time. We was in a rehearsal, not a community Baptist rehearsal. And somebody, you know, was being somebody. And they thought, you know, and they said whatever. And you know what? The carnal mind kicked in. And I said, listen, I can be quick with it when I need to be quick with it, okay? Right? Yeah. And guess what? And immediately the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I had to go back to that person and say that, you know what? I was wrong. You know why? You know why? Because the Lord dealt with my heart. He says, listen, that's my child. You're not going to talk to my child any kind of way. And that's why do you think John spends so much time in 1 John chapter 4 telling us how much we got to love one another? Because we're the children of God. And if we in here barking at one another, what is the world saying about us? So you better be careful about how you talk to God's children. Seriously. That's why our disposition has to be a disposition of love and grace. It does. If we're going to serve. And sometimes we can be so, listen, we can't be that way. In the church, we can't be that way. On the job, we can't be that way. In the home, we can't be that way. In the community, we've got to carry ourselves with love and grace. We've got to. We've got to. See no man after the flesh. Listen, we've got to have compassion and passion, right? Eat for the unsaved. You know, you heard what Jesus said, we're not going to turn there in the interest of time, Matthew 8:36. The love of Christ, the passion and the compassion for hearts, for people's souls, have to be demonstrated in our lives. What the Bible says, Jesus came out, he looked upon the multitudes, and what did it say? He was what? Moved with what? Why was he moved with compassion? He saw the condition. He saw the condition of the multitudes. He saw all the stuff that they were going through. We've got to look out. But in order for us to do it, we can no longer see man through these eyes, through the flesh. We've got to see it through the lens of the eyes of Jesus Christ. When we look upon the multitudes, the condition of the world, we can't say, oh, well, they're going to hell. He deserved that. You know, we can't be that way. Our hearts have got to be broken to people. When he looked out in the multitude, he saw some people that couldn't get right. He saw some people struggling with the spirit of this and the spirit of that. He saw people struggling with this and struggling with that. And guess what? The Bible says he was moved with compassion. That's got to be us. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. Be careful. We already talked about it. Be careful about how you treat God's children. Look at that Romans 5:8 and 1 John. I think it's 1 John 4:9 that we read earlier. Listen, Ephesians 2. Let's just go there because this is why we gotta check ourselves too, right? Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. Listen to this. Listen. And you. And me, this is verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2. Hath he quickened who were what? And sins. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of, he reminded us about ourselves, y'all. Course of this world, according to the prince and the power of this air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, verse 3, among whom also some of us. A certain portion of us, the deacon board, just the deacon board, not the ministers, just the ushers, not the trustees, right? No, we all, every single one of us had our conversation. This is how we live our lives in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He's not talking about them, y'all. He's talking about us. In times past, we all were there. This is who every single one of us were. This is who all of us are still being delivered from. We just got the love of Christ. He's replacing us and delivering us from this place. And he was reminding us in this time and letting us know. And that's why we can't look down at people. That's why when we're serving people, we've got to have compassion, because the only difference between us and them is somebody shared the love of Christ with us. And we got to remember that. We all had our conversation. And this really is the result of a progressive and aggressive. Listen, this is the result of a progressive and an aggressive fellowship with Christ Jesus. What do I mean when I say that? Look at what he says. After he says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Look at what he says. He says, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In other words, he's letting us know that we've got to have a progressive and an aggressive relationship or pursuit for the knowledge of who God is. Because without it, we won't grow in our fellowship with him. And therefore, we won't grow in our capacity to minister to other people. What is he saying? What is he dealing? Yes, at one time we knew Christ in the flesh. In other words, I knew Christ. Yes, he was the man who came down from heaven, walked on the earth, performed all these miracles, went to the cross and died. Your understanding and knowledge of who Christ is does not stop there. That's only the beginning. We must grow in our knowledge and understanding of who Christ is. You know who Christ is? David said, I come in the volume, prophesying about Christ. He says, I come in the volume of the book. From the very beginning to the very end, this is all about him. We've got to grow. It's more. He's more than just a man that came and performed miracles and died. He's so much more than that. He's everything. He's every single thing. He is the very power of creation. He is the power of salvation. He's the power of deliverance. He is the power. He is the power of our redemption. He is everything. There is nothing that exists without Christ Jesus, without him. And we've got to grow in the knowledge and the understanding of who he is. Not just this. He ain't somebody that's over there. As Dr. Stanley would say, somebody that's over yonder there. No, guess what? He is the glory of God. He is the, what does he say in Colossians? That's it, 1:19. No, Colossians 1:19, he is the fullness. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he is for in. That too, all things. For it pleased the Father that in him, all he is the fullness. He is the fullness, the fulfillment of all things. We've got to grow. He's not just a man. And we look and we talk about Jesus. And say, listen, he was the Word before he was Christ. He was the Word manifested in flesh that we might see what that we might see in the flesh what God is like, that we might be drawn to him to grow in an understanding of the fullness of who he truly is. And it's in this. And it's in this, the results. This is the result. This is the result. We've got to aggressively pursue him. We've got to aggressively. That's why Paul could say in Philippians chapter 3, when he talks about that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, right? To be made in the to be conformed to his death by any means. That's what I mean when I say that this is the result of a progressive and aggressive fellowship. It's our pursuit of Christ. Listen. And some of us are chasing ministry positions. No, that's not what it's about. Stop chasing position, because there's no validation in your position. There's only validation in Christ. Chase Christ. Chase Christ. And as you grow in your fellowship, you'll be better and better and better in what you're doing. You heard him talk about, Pastor Wright talk about earlier, you'll have the can't help it. You'll be loving on people, and you'll turn around and be like, what in the world just happened? Did I really respond to that in love? You'll be amazed at what Christ will do. That's why he says, seek ye first, really saying, seek ye only the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is his replacement. And all these things will be added unto you. The fruits, the demonstrated work of Christ. If I've got tunnel vision for him, and I'm pursuing a growing fellowship, relationship and fellowship, which means agreement with God. Ministry, guess what, y'all? Ministry won't be work. And for some of us, ministry is work. Ministry is work. To maybe some of y'all on Zoom, some of us in here, ministry is work. And guess what, y'all? If ministry is work, you're doing it wrong. Because it's not meant to be work. You know why it's work? You know why you're tired? Because you're doing it. No, you know what your job is? Pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. Next thing you know, you'll turn around and the ministry has been such a blessing. And some of y'all be like, well, then what? I won't be able to get it. Because it ain't for because it never was for your glory. So you ain't got to worry about whether you got credit for what happened or not. Your reward is in what you are pursuing. That's why he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Because my prize is not in people. Oh, Minister Wynn, you did such a good job teaching that Bible study. Oh, I was so blessed by it. Praise God. Glory be to God. Guess what? My pursuit is Christ. Because guess what? Ain't no preacher who's preaching the gospel. No teacher who's teaching the gospel ain't never had an original thought in their life. Seriously. You know why? Because it's all been given by inspiration of his spirit through the word of God. Whatever we say comes from God. It don't come from us. Whatever we do, if we're truly operating in ministry, really don't come from. See, this is the problem. This flesh wants to be validated. And it can't. I don't care how much you do. Ain't enough pats on the back going to satisfy your need for validation. Only our pursuit and what we get when we're pursuing Christ will ever validate. That's why, and see, that's the thing. And that's why this man can stand in a pulpit and tell you the truth. Because he's not validated by your amens and your hand claps. We don't even hear that stuff. We're validated by the word. We're validated by Christ Jesus. That's why we can stand and tell the truth and not worry about what people got to say. But when you ain't validated, you've got your eyes off the mark. You've got your eyes off the prize. You know why? Because you're looking at people. Well, they didn't say thank you. They could have said thank you. So what? So what? I ain't getting no love offerings. What? No, that's not what it's about. Listen, y'all, we got something. If you don't believe me, he got something for us. He has something for us that nobody can give us. Only him. He will fulfill you. He will validate you in what you're doing. Stop looking for people. Stop looking around looking for people to tell you something. No, get your eyes fixed on Jesus. He got something for you. Much better. Much better. Much better. More better. Only Christ. So let me just say this. When we talk about serving in this ministry, the reason why I say this, because there's only one, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. That's what God has called us to. That's the reason why we fall in love. That's the reason why we die to ourselves, because God's desire is to reconcile people to himself. And when the love of Christ is demonstrated, what we're doing is we are reconciling people to Christ. Because when they see that unconditional love demonstrated through a life that's been submitted, surrendered, and replaced, you know who they're drawn to? They're drawn to him. That's our ministry. Your ministry ain't ushering. My ministry ain't preaching. That's the mechanism. Your ministry ain't collecting money. Whatever it is you do in the church, that is not your ministry. That's a mechanism. Your ministry is people, is reconciliation. It's people coming to Christ. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And then you hear Pastor Wright say it all the time. You got to know why you're doing what you're doing. And that's always got to be at the very front of, it's got to be front and center in our mind and our hearts. The why is that so that people will be reconciled. And if I'm not demonstrating the love of Christ, no matter how nasty people act, right? If you're not demonstrating the love of Christ, no matter how people react and respond to you, right? Then people are not going to be reconciled to him. Amen. And that's why we greet people. And that's why when we're doing funerals, that's why we just don't get up and eulogize people. That's why he don't get up and just talk about who that person was. It's beautiful. Yes, there's a component of that. But what do we mostly get at funerals? We get the word of God because somebody needs to know Jesus. And so in so many churches, people won't even, I've been to some church, they won't even open the Bible at a funeral. They want to get up and speak. They want to eulogize. They want to get up and speak well about the person who is dead. They dead. Unfortunately. But the funerals and the word is about the living. So that they might know Jesus Christ. Everything we do, I don't care what you're doing. You serving a piece of chicken so that somebody might know Christ. You are taking the temperature at the door so that somebody might know Christ. It's just the way we do. We gotta demonstrate love in all that we do. Seriously. So we got to know why we're doing. We got to know why we're doing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Awesome study. And you know what? And I'm going to say this. If he talked about replacement in our death and co-crucifixion, guess what? Everybody, from those taking the trash out, and if you know what I know now, who's your attitude?
Man, please, brother. I'll be glad. Put me up on that soundboard.
Take trash.
Put me, right, man. There. I'll listen.
That's it.
And give me a mop and broom.
And if it's work, and I heard him say, if ministry is not meant to be work, oh, we got to come in here and do all this.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
If you are working, and it's hard work, what you do,
amen,
and you don't see just a love affair with God. Yeah. You need, and it's like he said, he stopped saying, I thought he was going to keep on saying, you need to sit down. Right? Because we can't work. It's if it's hard, if it's drudgery, and some people it's like, oh, it's drudgery. I got it. You know, but it ought to be in fellowship because Christ's life is working through you. Amen?
Amen.
And guess what? God can do, what I'm learning, God can do more through subtraction.
Come on.
He can do more through subtraction. He don't need us. And he can do more with less. Amen. And so I just thank God for the word. I thank God for Minister Williams.
Amen. Thank God for everybody on the line. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Just be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come, oh God. Heavenly Father, just overwhelmed, Father God, by you. Continually, oh God, just when we think, oh God, we can't be amazed anymore. Heavenly Father, you show us, oh God, just another level, another dimension of your love and your grace for us. How blessed, what a privilege, oh God, we have, Heavenly Father, in you, to know you, oh God, to be loved by you. Heavenly Father, to know that, Lord God, you are just, you're in control even of our lives, and you're guiding the very direction, Heavenly Father, of our lives. We thank you, oh God. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, oh God, Heavenly Father, for this eternal word, oh God. Lord God, we pray, oh God, that you would set this eternal word in our hearts. Heavenly Father, that you would make us like Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, that your life would be manifest before people, Lord God. And lives would be changed because we've surrendered to your life in us. Have your way right now, oh God. Heavenly Father, you said your word would not return unto you void. Heavenly Father, let it go into the very depths and the deeps of our hearts. Search us out even in the darkest places of our mind and our soul, oh God. Heavenly Father, and bring forth the very light of your gospel, Heavenly Father. Have your way with us right now. Conform us to the likeness of your son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Oh God, bless every ministry represented on this call. Lord God, help us to know what this is about. Give us, oh God, break our hearts to the ministry of reconciliation. Save souls, oh God, no matter what the task is or the assignment is. Let your life be manifested, oh God, from it. Help people see you, Lord God, in the most simplest things that we do, oh God. Heavenly Father, take completely over our lives. Heavenly Father, in every single work of this church and this ministry, oh God. Heavenly Father, translate it, Lord God, that people might see Jesus, that people might see you in it, oh God. Heavenly Father, you said if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. Be lifted up, be glorified, be magnified, be manifest, oh God. In the very works of this ministry, oh God, that you might be glorified. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, crush our hearts, crush them, crush our hearts, bring us to an end of ourselves, oh God. Heavenly Father, for Lord God, Paul said, death worketh in us, but life in somebody else, that somebody else might be saved. Have your way, oh God. manifest the life of Christ, O God, even in our mortal flesh, that you might receive glory, honor, and praise. We thank you, O God. Heavenly Father, if there's somebody, O God, even here on this line or here in this church today, O God, Heavenly Father, that did not see ministry this way, break their hearts. Break their hearts, Heavenly Father, right now. Heavenly Father, just to know what it's about. Heavenly Father, prepare them, O God, even if you got to sit us down. Prepare our hearts, Heavenly Father, for this work. Out of your motive, not out of ours, not out of the motive of trying to get out of something. But Heavenly Father, out of the motive of needing, Lord God, to be right with you and our hearts fashioned and prepared for ministry. Have your way. Oh God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.